What's up, everyone? This is the Ready for Launch podcast, the show where we break down product launches, share our favorites, and explain why they work. I'm Andy McCotter-Bicknell, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Tamara Graminski and Jason Oakley. The topic for this episode is most controversial launch. I had a blast doing research for this one. What do you guys think? Do you have fun?
Yeah, I felt like a reporter more in this one. Like I'm trying to talk about something happening in the news or something like that. It was cool. It's cool to think about it from like a different lens. And that's what I like about the show. We're like taking those different themes and applying it to launches. It was fun. What do you think, T?
Yeah. So I chose a launch that obviously I'd heard about when it was happening. But when I heard about it, when it was happening was from just like, you know, a consumer. And so then to reframe it from the perspective of the launch perspective as a product marketer was an interesting experience. And I know we were talking about this before the show, but I was kind of torn on like, what does most controversial mean to me? Like, am I trying to find the launch that made the most controversy because of the product, because of the launch? Do I even care if the launch was successful? So for me, I ended up going with something where I was like, I think there's a lot of controversy here, both in the launch itself and the product, but I believe it was still a successful launch in terms of like delivering value and the right outcomes. So I'm interested to see what you guys chose.
Yeah. It's controversy. There's like usually like a negative. Like when I say controversy, I normally think like, oh, this is like not a good thing, or to like be surrounded by controversy. But I think that there's a universe where controversy is good. If it's used in like the right way, obviously, and I'll talk about this more in my pick too, because I had to kind of go through that same question. I was like, what is like, do I even like this launch? Is this like a good like controversy or is it a bad one? I'm looking forward to talking about it.
Yeah, mine is, I would say mine, I don't know if I would classify it as a successful launch. So I think I'll be on the sphere of, or the side of a launch wrapped in controversy. But the reason I chose it, why I think it's going to be like why I want to talk about it is because I think it's something most product marketers can resonate with. So hopefully we have a good chat about it. And, you know, is it going to win best launch? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I didn't pick
the
right one.
Best launch. It's controversial. So that's the thing. Like we could.
Well, that's true. Is it most controversial? Right? Is that what we're saying? Great. Okay. Well, then I feel good about it now. Okay.
Yeah. I think I might have just made that up just now, but I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. Yeah. I think the main question we need to ask going into this is all publicity good publicity? Like, is bad publicity good for business? That's almost like the thesis that we're going to do going into today's
show. Yeah, that's good. Good question.
100%. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get it started. So, Grayson, you want to tell us who's going to go first?
Well, I brought the randomizer out again. You know, the infamous randomizer.
Yeah.
It never lies. It never lies. I'm excited. So, any bets on who's going first here? No, I did hit the randomizer. Oh,
I'm taking bets. I think Jason's going first. I have like my ears are Miami? Tingling.
Does it have any? Yeah. Yes. I'll say Andy.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
Mara, any ideas?
I don't really care.
Okay. Tamara, all right. Too good for the randomizer? All right.
Controversy.
No. Don't upset the robots. I'm not too good for the randomizer. I appreciate the randomizer's role in our show.
Okay, good. Good. What do we got?
Well, the results are, Andy, you should have put money on it. Jason is going first.
I knew it. All right.
Last time I went first, didn't work out that well. So
you won the last time, didn't you?
Not the last time I went first.
Oh, okay. Got it. All right. Well, that means that's better for me. So. All right.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
All right. So for my controversial launch, I want to talk about Google Gemini. So it's Google's generative AI product, or at least their kind of most recent ChatGPT killer product. And so I want to talk about that launch and why it's wrapped in a bit of controversy. But I also want to share it because I think it's one of those things that a lot of product marketers, pretty much every product marketer, I'm sure, can resonate with, because we all run up against situations like this. And so in particular, I want to talk about the Gemini launch video that they created. But before I get into that, I want to talk about a little like bit of backstory, set some context. Everyone who's watching this video knows what ChatGPT is. I don't need to really explain that or what OpenAI is, but OpenAI, ChatGPT, the first real launch of like a mass the masses using any type of generative AI product. And that ChatGPT launched back in November 30th of 2022. And since then, it's been taken off, right? Like, they've been innovating on the product. Everyone has either seen it, used it, or uses it on a daily basis. It is right now, you know, like, just some simple research I did found it has about 60% market share of all AI tools, which I thought was even higher than that. They're about $80 billion valuation at this point for OpenAI. Like, they are the 800-pound gorilla when it comes to, like, generative AI products. And because of that, and also on top of that, Microsoft is an investor in OpenAI. And because of that too, Microsoft they've released their Copilot product, and they've been building AI into a lot of their flagship products. So because of that, Google is naturally kind of on its heels, right? They are kind of chasing these leaders in generative AI, even though they've been working on AI for a long time. They've had DeepMind. They've been thinking about, or at least, like, internally building out generative AI for a while. And so for them, they're really behind, and it's kind of caught them off guard. And, you know, it seems as if they're on their heels trying to catch up. So back in February of 2023 is when they launched Bard, which was their first, my understanding, based on, you know, what I know and my research for this episode, it was their first attempt at, hey, let's, like, this is our ChatGPT compatible product, our alternative, right? And they launched that, and it didn't go that well. They had a launch video that was, it had an error in it. So basically, they had a launch video, the demo, or I actually think it was a launch demo. Like, it might have actually been live, and it must have been if there's an error. And so it had an error in it. And so the launch of Bard actually didn't go that well. It wasn't like the ChatGPT killer they were hoping it would be. And so their next attempt at that is Google Gemini. And so Gemini is their latest, you know, it's their latest iteration on a generative AI product, like again, ChatGPT killer. And they launched in December is when they were supposed to launch it. And they released a launch video. And the launch video is a video for a product. It was a really cool, compelling video. I shared it on PMM Files. It's basically a narrator. It shows their hands, and they're doing hand gestures. They're drawing pictures. They're speaking to the AI, and it's responding. It seems really intelligent. Everyone was super impressed with it. And it seemed to be ahead of what ChatGPT was doing at the time. But it wasn't until people kind of started digging into it and doing some investigative work where they found out that that wasn't actually the case. And so the video, and there's a little disclaimer now on YouTube, it actually shows that there was like some editing after the fact. And so in reality, all of the work that Gemini was doing and the responses it was giving were based off text prompts. And so with some editing, they basically made it seem like it was looking at hand gestures, listening to voice, like reading things on a page and responding. And so they kind of made it seem like it was better, more capable than it actually was. And so I think about this, you know, again, this is just based off my opinion, but thinking about the Bard launch and that video and how the video didn't go, or the demo didn't go that well. Now, when they launch Gemini, obviously it is super buttoned up. Everything looks perfect, but it's a little bit of smoke and mirrors where it's not actually where the product is at today. And, you know, when Google was asked about it, like, they were basically explaining, like, we were showing what Gemini was going to be capable of in the future. Right? They were talking about, like, the vision of Gemini, what it's going to be capable of soon, but obviously not right now. And so a lot of people felt a little bit misled there, right? And so there's a lot of controversy around this fact that the Gemini video said it was capable of doing what it actually wasn't. And so that's why I chose this as, like, a controversial launch, because it actually, they ended up delaying the Gemini launch, and they didn't launch it until, I believe, like, January or just recently, like, I think it was in January when they launched. And there's still a number of hiccups. They had to roll back their image generator recently, a number of things around the launch. But what I think, and why I wanted to talk about it, is because I think every product marketer who's watching this has been in a situation where you have a competitor who is ahead of you, and they're the innovator. They're the one who is, like, continuously launching new things and new features and things that are getting people excited, and you're the one chasing. And you're in this, like, awkward position where you're getting pressure that you need to launch something that is a little bit of smoke and mirrors, right? It's something like, it's on the roadmap. We're working on it right now. It's going to launch in 6 months, but we're going to talk about it right now on the website. We're going to demo it. We're going to act as if it's available right now. And with something like Gemini, people can get in and see it right away, right? Like, they can get in and see that it's a free product, and they can quickly know that it's not exactly what was talked about in the video. But for a lot of like B2B SaaS products, you know, you got to put up cash and you got to, you know, commit to a year long contract before you get in and actually see what it's capable of. So I thought that it was something a lot of product marketers could resonate with, because even a company as large as Google, a massive company, still struggles with a little bit of this pressure where you got a competitor, you got someone setting the tone and like that pace, and you are trying to catch up, and how hard it can be when you really feel like it's really hard to catch up with them. So anyways, that was mine. Curious what you both think. And it took longer to explain that than I thought, but we're right on time.
Yeah, you almost got to the 7 minutes. Love that. Yeah, what do you think, Tamara?
Yeah, a couple of things come to mind. So first of all, when you mentioned the video, I was actually thinking about another controversy surrounding the video, which you kind of hit on, which was the Bard was like a live demo. And then with Google Gemini, it was a recorded demo video. And I think a lot of people were like, the fact that it was even recorded, let alone whether what was recorded was true or not, but the fact that it was recorded just like felt like a total cop out. And like, what are you even doing here? And so I thought that's what you were going to talk about, but we're not. So interesting thought, because that's what came up a lot for me when I've, you know, viewed material around this. But I think you're talking about a really delicate balance about how much do you sell the future, particularly when you're in a competitive space or crowded space, or maybe even you're trying to create a category. I think people have done it well, though. What came to mind for me was what Asana did a few years ago. I don't know if you guys remember the video. It was like the founder of Asana came out with a video where it was very much just like, here's the future of where we're going. And it, I don't even remember if it was anchored in a specific product launch. I think there was functionality that came out that day, but it was less about that and it was more about the future. Although I think they communicated in a very effective way where it was like, here's where you're going and here's why you should join the journey, versus it sounds like what the miss was from Google's perspective was they didn't make it clear what was true today and what would be true tomorrow.
Yeah, I think all just highlights the importance of like beta programs and alpha programs, like all of these like small, so that people can get in and see for themselves, you know, like the power users and actually give you decent feedback and actually prove that some things are real. Because like, I mean, again, like what Jason was saying, so many companies have been in this position to where like they need to like force something to the public in order to like save face and show that you're like working on something. And you know, I know that it's common for a lot of companies to do this kind of smoke and mirrors thing where you show a video, it's like pre-recorded, and it shows like capabilities that like might not be 100% live yet, but it's like mostly there, right? And it's like, you know, it kind of pushes like the boundary of what you should be doing. I would give Google a harder hand slap because they're a publicly traded company that is worth like over like $1 trillion at this point. I don't know if they're over a trillion, but they're getting pretty close. It, you know, versus like a private company kind of a thing. You know what I mean? Like a startup, a SaaS startup. I think if you like sell on the future, like you know, I think it's kind of commonplace at this point for companies to be selling off of like a vision. For a massive company like Google, I don't know if that was a good move.
So how did this impact the actual launch? Like, maybe I should know this. Like, I've obviously only used ChatGPT, not Gemini. Like, is it actually available for use right now? Or did they pull back? And if it is available for use, like, did it hit the targets that they kind of said they wanted it to hit? Do we know?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know about like, did it hit their internal targets, or I don't think it's going as well as they'd hoped. And so even after this video was launched, like they did have to delay their launch and it was delayed just a couple of months. But even now, since they've rolled it out, there've recently been some other controversy around their like image generator, kind of like their, what's an equivalent of it?
Midjourney?
Yeah, like a Midjourney alternative. And I say that because I know Andy uses that, but there's some issues around like it generating and how it generates different ethnicities and things like that. So there's some controversy around that, and they've actually had to roll it back. And so now they've kind of like taken that off like the market for a while they work on it. And so it does seem like the thing that I kind of see from this, again, it's just like the pressure to kind of try to move fast and make up time and make up space between you and a competitor just is causing even the likes of Google to try to like rush and everything not be, yeah, to try to, and like to have some stumbles along the way. So if anything, I share this so that people can know that we struggle with this in like every company we're at. Like a lot of product marketers struggle with this all the time. And I think that it's something that's normal, even in like the biggest, most successful, most streamlined companies that you think have it all figured out. But yeah.
One thing we can agree with though, is that Gemini is a much better name than Bard, right? I mean, come on. Does anybody like the name Bard? I when they came out with that, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like that's the name you're coming out with this product. I mean, ChatGPT isn't like the most cool sounding name, but Bard, I don't know what that is.
I don't know. No, Bard made more sense. It's like hit at like Shakespeare, right? The Bard. I think so. Yeah. Like a writer. That's
what I don't know.
This whole time.
Okay. All right. Okay. If it's Shakespeare, I can respect that.
I think it is because they call Shakespeare the Bard. And so I'm assuming that it's like the writer, you know, versus Gemini. I'm like, what is this? Astrology? I have no idea.
You know, like with a lot of these like AI, like, you know, like they're always like using like sparkles and like all these like swishy, like very like magical kind of, I don't know. I feel like we've like, that's kind of like the, I don't know, like when it became like associated with like space and magic, but like that kind of is like the de facto like metaphor, I feel like, for AI right now.
Okay. Okay. Enough about naming. I think we should go on to the next person. What's the next line?
Can I get a drum roll? Should we get a drum roll?
Just cross my fingers.
Next is Andy Gardner.
Yes. All right. Cool. I've been waiting all day. I'm ready for this. Let's do it.
3, 2, 1.
All right. Cool. So let's set the table a little bit, right? Let's talk about controversy. So every year, I feel like there's like some kind of big hype thing that's happening in the tech world. In 2022, that was crypto and NFTs. This year, I think it's going to be something along the lines of augmented reality with the release of the Apple Vision Pro. But in 2023, Jason already kind of touched on it. It was AI, right? ChatGPT, it exploded for better or for worse. It seemed like every single company was trying to like force AI into their product messaging, integrating with OpenAI and Anthropic, doing something with AI. Okay. So one thing that I've noticed with these like hype cycles is that they gradually go from like a really interesting use case in the very beginning, right? Something like very tangible, cool, to like almost like a caricature of itself by the end of the year. And so case in point, right, where when everyone was getting really into crypto, it was all about Bitcoin and Ethereum. And then when you look into the tech, you know, there's something really compelling there, really interesting use cases on their own. And then more importantly, they allow for others to like build on top of that technology, right? And so with crypto, you know, by the end of the hype cycle, you had things like Dogecoin, Shiba Inu, Pepe, and like, I'm not kidding you, there's another coin literally called Bonk. Like when I was researching this, I was like, what is Bonk? Okay. So in either case, caricature of like what, you know, crypto is all about, right? With augmented reality, we're starting to see like some mock-ups and ideas of like just different ways that we can use the technology. So right now, a lot of the ideas that are coming out are really compelling, right? We're still like kind of early in this hype cycle. I don't know if you saw, there's like one where people were supposed to like have the Vision Pro on and they're like vacuuming, and like the augmented reality was showing like points that you would like accrue for like getting the entire rug. That was like pretty cool. But in either case, again, like I bet we're going to get more ridiculous kind of examples by the end of the year, like once nearing kind of the end of the hype cycle, some that maybe aren't very helpful. And this is what happened with AI, which is where I'm going with this. So we started 2023. Everyone was gravitating towards ChatGPT. And then by the end of the year, a company called Humane made waves by announcing a product called the AI Pin. And just for the record, it's AI, capital A, lowercase I. Okay, so very, very specific there. But in either case, this is where the controversy comes in, right? Let me just, you know, for clarity, there's different types of controversy that I think are important to mention here, right? There's the bad kind of controversy, which, you know, might spark ethical questions and might have political implications, safety concerns, all those types of things. I'd personally like steer clear of any of those launches that spark that kind of controversy. But then there's the flip side, which you could argue is good controversy that like benefits from what people are talking about, like how they're talking about the launch, how frequently they're talking about the launch. Maybe your launch was really unique. Maybe it was like memeable. Or just like really expresses your idea and just so happens to capture the zeitgeist in a specific point in time. So I think all of those things considered, that's how I think Humane really nailed their AI pin. It's like the better side of controversy, controversy in a good way. Okay, so let's talk about the launch, right? So like, why was it controversial? What did they do? Okay, so I'm going to share my experience because my POV, like from a consumer's perspective, it's a lot different from my perspective as like a PMM, right? I'm going to like remove my PMM goggles. I think that's important here, right? So I learned about the launch. I'm scrolling through Twitter late last year, and all of a sudden I'm seeing this video getting reposted across my feed. And it's just this classic tech launch video that looks like, you know, if you turn on, it's like this guy, this lady, they're both wearing like all black, all white tech in the background, very much inspired by like Steve Jobs, Apple, all that kind of stuff. It's a 10-minute video announcing this product. And like, I'm not going to sit there and watch that. I don't have the time. I'm not going to do it. And so, but I see a lot of people have commentary about it. And so I do like the classic, like armchair expert type of thing. And I just read what other people are saying about this thing. I don't really form any opinions of my own. I'm just like reading what other people are saying. And from what I can gather, the sentiment is pretty mixed. You know, it's a lot of people's opinions. There's a lot of people talking about the fact that it's very like use case, like lots of features, lots of talk about tech, but not really much about like its actual purpose. Okay. Or value. So from like a product marketing's perspective, it's like, I don't really know like how interesting that is, but you know, I still haven't watched the 10-minute video. I'm still seeing it getting reposted constantly until finally like a week later. And I'm like, hey, listen, I'm going to finally try to find this video and I'm going to watch it. So it stuck with me for over a week. I finally sit down and watch it. And yeah, like once I finally sit down and watch it, I can see exactly what everyone's talking about. It's not really what you would consider like something that a lot of product marketers would probably enjoy watching. It's not like nailing all the best practices of a typical product launch, lots of feature talk, all that kind of stuff. But I don't want to talk through like really like whether I think this product launch video was like high quality or if it passed like all of the like typical PMM tropes that like we're always trying to like emphasize in product launch assets. What I think is important is that I came back a week later after reading all about it because I was interested in it. I sat down and I watched a 10-minute video. And then because I've continued to be interested in just the topic of, hey, will this work? Does this resonate with people? I would say about once a month over the past few months, I just Google AI pin to see like what's happened. Like just not because I'm trying to buy it, but because I'm like, hey, like that was a thing that happened. Like, are they shipping it? What are people's reactions to it? And I think that says a lot about the fact that it was fairly controversial and that like it's stuck in your head and it forced you to continue thinking about like, hey, is this thing working? How is it working? What are people's reactions to it? And so that's taken up a lot of headspace for me personally. And, you know, obviously a ton of other people without even shipping the product. It like they just now started shipping the product, but I've continued to like look into it more and more. And so that's why I think it, you know, nails that most controversial launch piece for me personally. Whew, got to take a deep breath. I got excited. I'm starting to sweaty. Is it hot in here?
I remember that too. I was like I was with you on that armchair expert sort of thing where I'm like putting on your product marketer hat and you're like, oh, it's so feature focused and things like that. And then the that company Rabbit released the R1 like announced that they were about to launch the R1 and that sold out in like a day or something, right? Like all their pre-orders. And I've been thinking a lot about it lately. And you talked about the hype cycle. And it's what I almost feel like those things are so early, right? Like these products that are AI products and they're like personal devices for AI specifically. And I think that, I don't know, one take that I have around it is that when it's that early and you're only talking to early adopters, I do feel like there's a large, like the majority of them just care about nerding out on the features. Yep,
I agree.
Like there is something about them just being like, tell me about everything. Yeah. I want to know how it works. I want to know. They're just like so interested in, And it's almost like this, like, oh, you wouldn't get it. You don't understand this. Like, I want to understand all these things. Like, I want to know the details of this pin and how it works. So there is something about it where it's like, you're not in on this. I'm in on this. I know how to figure out all the use cases for this. Dylan, just tell me how it works. Mm-hmm. Tell me all the features. I don't know. I think there's something to that.
I think you're right. And I think, well, like, the point is, there's no one size fits all for product launches. We talk about this a lot. And like we talk about in our course as well. At the beginning of the launch, you need to determine who is this launch for. And it's not who is the product for, right? Because the product could be for multiple different customer segments over a period of time. But who was this launch for? I think you're right, Jason, in calling out that this was super fans, the early adopters, and they probably want completely different information than, say, a broader, more generally available launch. This came across my radar. I have less than zero interest in this. I still don't even understand what it is, to be honest. But I will say there is something about the hype where every now and then, Andy, whenever I do see it pop up, like whether it's an article on LinkedIn or whatever it might be, I'm like, what was that again? So like it is in my mind percolating somewhere, but I think it's because the launch wasn't for me, you know? And I'm that's what I'm going to say. Yeah.
It's a good point. I saw them. They were like guests on, maybe it was like a CNN kind of news show about that. Anyways, they got to talk about their product, and them explaining it to someone, to like a panel of three people who were like news anchors on CNN. They just didn't, you know, they just didn't get it. Yeah. And it was a clear comparison of like who they're targeting right now versus someone who is like, what is this? It's like, what is the internet? Right? Like, they're like, I don't get it.
Yeah. I think the technology is fascinating. Obviously, it's like, you know, it's a tiny little thing. There's a lot that goes into it. So this isn't like to like diss the product or anything like that at all. What I think made this so controversial was like that perfect storm of like, they were speaking to that audience that you're talking about. Like very, very small group that's like really interested in this tech. It just so happened to also get picked up by the large masses of, you know, other people who are like kind of into AI or like have started thinking about it, and they saw it and they're like, oh my God, like, what is this? And just kind of like felt like it was the right place at the wrong time, or wrong place, right time. I don't know. One of those things are like a little off in that, like, they had a story, they had a cool launch, but it also got picked up by a lot of people that weren't really their audience. And so it got swooped up and they got open up for a bunch of criticism that I don't know if they really deserved, but I think over time it probably will be seen as a win for them, because now anytime I see like an AI device, I automatically think of the AI pin. I like compare it against them as like, oh, I wonder if that's going to be as interesting as that one.
I think that's a good argument. It's like they became misunderstood, not because they did anything wrong. Like actually their marketing and launch campaign was well tailored to the target audience they were going after, but because other people were trying to interpret what they were saying, they got misunderstood. And then that became the controversy. It's completely outside of their control.
It is.
I think that's a good example too of what we talked about in the beginning with like good publicity, bad publicity. I think that's all good.
Yeah.
Like they don't care at this point what like we think about their product.
They don't at all. Yeah, that's true.
All right. So who's next? We obviously know who it is.
I'm the only one left.
Would you like to
answer your own question?
Let us know.
Tomorrow's next.
There you go. There you go. All right. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go.
All right.
Okay. No, I'll.
Three, two, one.
Okay, so for what I think is the most controversial launch, I went non-tech and I chose the Tesla Cybertruck. And I need to preface this argument by saying that I know absolutely nothing about cars. In fact, I don't even own a vehicle. So I actually think that that's what makes this launch even more impressive, though. The fact that someone like me, who has absolutely no interest in this topic at all, is engaging with the launch and thinking about it months later. So if you don't know, if you were like me, the Cybertruck is essentially an electric full-size pickup truck from Tesla. It was originally introduced conceptually in 2019, so like many years ago, but it was officially launched in November of 2023. And as we know, the mastermind behind the Cybertruck is Elon Musk, who is constantly in controversy. So why would this product be any different? But I think it's important to know like why this matters to Tesla. So I did a bit of research and it shows that the three best-selling cars of 2023 were all pickup trucks. And so this is really important for Tesla if they want to continue to expand their market share of like vehicles in general. They need a piece of that market. But they're actually at a bit of a disadvantage heading into this launch. They have some ground to make up. When they first announced in 2019, they would have been the first car manufacturer to have an electric truck. But because their launch was heavily delayed several years, two of their competitors actually beat them to the punch. And so I'm sure when they were originally planning launch, they thought like their main differentiator was going to be they're the first one on the market. But they couldn't claim that anymore. And so they kind of needed to find other ways to make a splash. So that takes us to the controversy. What I like about this one is that there's two clear sides. So there's one camp who thinks that this is like the fuggliest truck that you've ever seen and just like an absolute insult to the concept of the pickup truck. But then there's also another side that thinks that like, this is the future. And, you know, I've never even considered buying a truck, but I'm going to buy a truck now. And it's like the power of really changing minds. So the first group, the naysayers, they're kind of asking some important questions. They're saying, do we want to support Elon Musk? Even if we like the vehicle itself, like he's a bit wild. This is kind of turning us away. Just the fact that he's the one that built it. Is it even possible to deliver the vehicle? Apparently, they have to come up with an entirely new way of producing this because of the material it's made for. So it's like never been done before. So it's like, are they actually going to be able to deliver the product? And almost to Andy's point earlier, will this even be functional and safe? And there's like some real questions and concerns about that. But then on the other side, the people who are like kind of stoked for the launch, they're saying opposite things. So they just think that this is like the most cutting edge thing ever. They are comparing it to when Steve Jobs first introduced the iPhone. It again, it's like this visionary, futuristic product. They're also saying that actually it's a little bit less like a pickup truck. It's kind of a combination hybrid SUV and pickup. So you're getting the best of both worlds and they're actually going to be able to capture both markets. And it's like this brilliant strategy. And then the design itself, like some people actually do like the design. I don't know if I'm sure you guys have seen it, but they're saying that it's actually a great design example of what they're calling dystopian design, which is this resurgence of vehicles that look like they could probably be in like Mad Max or something. So really true to polarizing sides. And this is what got me thinking about like, well, is there such a thing as bad publicity? I think we all agree that Elon Musk would say there's no such thing as bad publicity. But it definitely can kind of change your brand perception. So I found a quote online. I'll link the article, but it says the electric vehicle crowd used to think of Elon Musk as Tony Stark. And now they're starting to think of him as Lex Luthor. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but that's kind of all of the context going into the launch. So it's everyone's kind of waiting for it. There's already two caps. Originally, when it was going to be introduced. So let's talk about the launch. When it was going to be introduced. The largest piece of controversy was just the fact that it was electric. People were wondering if there was like going to be enough power or battery to actually support the lifestyle that comes with a truck. Completely different than a car, which you're thinking, well, I use my electric vehicle in the city. When you think of a truck, you think off-roading, camping, outdoorsy things that I know nothing about. But at the launch event, they introduced this tagline. It says, more utility than a truck, faster than a sports car. To back this up, they actually showed a video. It was not a live demonstration. It was a video. And I'm pretty sure the entire internet has seen it by now. Essentially, in the video, it's the Cybertruck and it's racing a Porsche sports car and it's beating the sports car in terms of speed. That's already impressive, right? But then we get to the end of the video and we see that actually not only is the Cybertruck racing a Porsche, but it's actually pulling, like towing a Porsche at the same time while it's doing it. So the video goes viral. We've all seen it. It's everywhere. I think this is the first time I heard about the Cybertruck was when I came across the video. But it's not the only stunt that they did as part of launch. So one of the whole value props is that it's indestructible. And so they've done a ton of things to prove that as part of the launch campaign. So they've shot bullets at it. If you go to their YouTube channel, they actually have a video that shows why it's bulletproof. Joe Rogan shot an arrow. They threw metal balls. And actually, interesting, when they first introduced the vehicle, the prototype, they threw the metal balls and it did break it. But now this time around at the official launch, it doesn't. So all this to say, my criteria when I was choosing something for this episode was I wanted something that was controversial, but also successful, not just like controversial and a bit of a flop. So I'm going to argue that I actually think that they did a good job at harnessing the controversy. So first, everyone is talking about it. Similar to the AI pin, it's like just one of those party conversation topics. And we know that this is in general going to translate to more Tesla sales. Whether or not you want the Cybertruck, like Tesla, the brand is top of mind for you. But I did some digging and like the Cybertruck is actually doing pretty well. 2 million people have put down a deposit on the truck. And since the launch event in November, they're getting 10,000 orders a day. And now I have no idea how many cars get sold at a time. So I wanted to know, like, is this good or bad? So to put it into perspective, they can only produce 150,000 trucks a year. So just from the launch campaign, they already have enough orders for the next 13 years of production. That's my case for the Cybertruck.
There you go. Yeah, that's a great one.
That was a great one.
And that's been you could also make the case for that being like the longest launch too, because like they announced it. How many years ago was it when Elon Musk like stood on stage and did that like steel ball against like the
2019. So yeah, many years.
Cybertruck is, it's funny, like I have a nephew, right? And so the nephew is 8 or 9 and he has a Cybertruck. Like he has a little toy Cybertruck. Like they're right. So it's not just, it has kind of, I don't know. It is there's people other than like, you know, tech forward kind of, I don't even know what you call them, who want the Cybertruck. Like kids think it's cool. Like it is a cool looking truck. And the other thing that I saw was a video in terms of like all those tests and things that they were doing. I saw this video and I don't know if it was done by Tesla or not, but it's basically a bus, I think, just driving into different cars to see what happens to them. So they're all just like up against a brick wall and they're all just pointed straight at it. And then a bus or a transport truck smashes into the back of them. It's interesting to think it's like SUVs, I think, for the most part. Some of them are just totally destroyed. Ford Explorer or the Ford Expedition does pretty well, but literally hits the Cybertruck and the thing doesn't move. It's just like gunk and that's it. And I thought that was, again, like another thing where when I think about the Cybertruck, I'm like, man, that thing's indestructible.
Totally. And I think sometimes when you take a super polarizing take on something, like you make the claim it's indestructible, you're almost like egging people on to try to challenge you, which then creates publicity, which is good publicity, right? And they're kind of banking probably on whether or not someone actually can break it. They're going to be, well, you know, we didn't say a bus can't destroy it. Like they're always going to have a backup argument, but at least people are talking about it. People are creating content about it. And to your point, it's not just tech people or not just vehicle people either. Like I don't feel like I fall in any category of someone who'd be interested in this at all. And it still came across my radar.
Yeah. No, it's a good one.
I think this is also like the longest launch because I think it was like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe like when Elon Musk did, like he threw like the steel ball against the window and announced it. And I feel like this is like a funny example of like rolling thunder where like every time there'd be some kind of like financial like call or like it would make waves anytime there's like a new update on like when the Cybertruck's going to be ready. And then it was like almost like restart all of like the conversation of like, oh, like do you even like the Cybertruck, like it looks so ugly anyway, like, you know, any of all of like that negative stuff. But then like all of like the big pro Tesla people would like come out. So I feel like I'm actually blown away that only just now really launched. Like I only just saw my first one like
if you had
a few weeks
me,
ago
I thought it was around for a while.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy that it just launched, you know. It's really interesting where this idea of a polarizing launch, like, and maybe that's another word instead of controversial. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do you make a polarizing launch?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
It's like people who get it and want it. And the people who don't get it, just make the people who get it want it even more.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I don't know how we're going to choose a winner. Honestly, I feel like each of the launches were completely different.
Yeah, I think that it's, you know, that's the beauty of this, right?
I know who I'm voting for. I have a good one. I feel like I have a good idea of who I'm voting for. Let's should we go to voting? Yeah. Yeah, we're adjusting how we're doing this, by the way. Should we share how we tweak this format?
Yeah, I can. So the way that we're doing it now, because we felt last time it was a little awkward us just calling it out at once. So what we're doing is in the background, we're just DMing Grayson. been telling him, and then Grayson's going to announce. So, Grayson?
I feel very powerful with all of this information in my life.
Yeah.
That, Andy wants this. This was Andy's idea, by the way. And I feel it's because Andy's probably paying Grayson.
Under the table. Andy wins it. Just say Andy every single time, Grayson. Go for it. It's okay. Just do it. Just follow the plan.
So the votes are in. Votes are in.
It'd be sick.
Drum roll, please. Tomorrow with the Cybertruck.
So now, we did not have a plan. So there you go. All right. There's proof.
Or I just paid at Grayson more than you paid at Grayson.
Yeah, we should look into this really quick, actually, Jason.
Well, that's a, I don't want to, toot my own horn, but I do want to say that that is two wins for me.
But two, I'm really yet
to toot my own horn. I will say I have two wins, and I'm really starting to visualize the crown that I'm going to receive at the end of this season.
Yeah. Like I said, speaking as somebody who voted for it, I mean, Jason must have as well, because that's how the show works. We obviously both like the launch, but the Cybertruck itself, the way that they approached it was super smart. I like the funny way that they introduced it, with the steel ball breaking the window and then them following up. They're able to do a lot of cool things with it that make it very marketable, I guess. It's a very interesting product, and it's something that people want to talk about. So I think that's definitely why I personally picked it.
Yeah, I just liked it because it was a successful launch. I think people tune in because they want to take some of the stuff back that they can apply to their own launch. And I think that make controversy, I'm terrible at saying that word, work in your favor, right? How do you use it as something where it's not just controversy that you didn't plan for?
Yeah.
Right. How can you kind of build some controversy into your launch? And I like that. Not that to say that, I think Elon Musk just surrounded by it. That's just the world he lives in. He's a very polarizing guy and he just knows it works for him. Did he plan all of these things into his launch? I don't know. But hey, we'll pretend he did and that it worked out really well for him.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It was a very solid pick, T.
Thank you. I'm personally very excited to see my first Cybertruck in the wild. I have not yet, but we will keep the audience posted when we do. Take a selfie to celebrate my win.
It kind of freaked me out when I saw it. So we were driving on the highway. I only saw one for the first time a couple weeks ago. But the way that you can tell is it just obviously aside from the way that it looks, no duh. But if it's coming at you, the line of the headlights, it's all straight. It's one line. It's which looks very different from a regular car coming at you. So we were on the highway and so it's coming at us the opposite direction. They were in the other lane. And it looked kind of freaky, to be honest. But it was fun seeing it the first time.
It's almost it reminds me of remember when the Hummers started, people started driving Hummers?
Yeah.
I feel like it was kind of similar to that where people are oh my God, because the original Hummers were so just odd looking. Right? They're not odd looking, they just looked out of place. And now that they look like SUVs. I saw the new Hummer the other day and it just looks does not look like an old Hummer, that's for sure.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Well, reminder, we're not on a car show here.
It's a good thing too.
Okay, let's talk about audience votes. So Jason, you won the last episode, so you get the honors for hosting this poll. So why don't you tell folks how they can vote for me and my argument for audience choice?
Yeah, so the day that this episode goes live, go to my LinkedIn. I'm gonna have a poll there. I believe we have the poll up for a week. Is that right? For a week, yeah. So I'll have a poll up there. You'll have the option to pick your choice of which one of these three launches was that you think or what was your favorite. And that'll be the people's choice. So get your votes in. Vote for me.
Or me.
And I'll leave it. Or me.
And, just not Andy, actually.
I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve a win here. I don't deserve a win on LinkedIn. I'm just going to be, I'm just here for, as a punching bag.
Okay. Andy, next episode, you have a brand new chance. So what's the episode that we're doing next?
Yeah. What are we doing next? I forgot. Someone look at it. What is it?
It is the best pre-internet. And I think what we actually decided on was the best pre-2000s launch, right?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be a good one. All right.
It could go back as far as you want it. But we're going to be talking about cool launches that probably everyone's heard of products that you might use, things like that. All right, that's it. Thanks so much, everyone. We'll look forward to seeing you on the next one. Remember, these episodes come out bi-weekly, and we couldn't finish without thanking our friends over at Clue and the Compete Network for helping make this show happen. So thanks a lot, team, and we'll see you on the next one.